forget or regret.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solotropia, Solotropia, Solotropia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solotropia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah.
But don't you know we're gonna have a
too many things we found. That's the wonderful Dara Williams singing with the legendary Pete Seeger and David Burns, who wrote all the words to that song except one, Solotropia, which I wrote. And Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back with you on the great PRN network for another hour of really important stuff. And we got really important stuff today to talk about cell phones and all the other technologies that are related to them that are killing us in ways that we don't even know about. It's one of the big secrets of our industrial existence here is this plague of radiation, and I want to talk about it in a minute. First, I want to mention to you all that I do live in Southern California, although I'm not there right now, and we have two nuclear power plants, which you've talked about many, many times on this show, at San Luis Obispo, Diablo Canyon, actually at Avila Beach, which is 8-9 miles west of San Luis Obispo on the ocean. And as I'm sure everybody knows from the saturation coverage, we just had a series of earthquakes in California. They did get up to 7.1, which is pretty substantial. And I got to tell you that the epicenter of the 7.1 was less than 200 miles from Diablo Canyon. Now, if the any one of those earthquakes had hit Diablo Canyon within, you know, a few miles or less, nothing else would be on the news right now except the radioactive cloud headed into Los Angeles. Those two reactors are absolutely insane. They're instruments of mass murder. I wrote a piece about that. It's at reader-supported news, laprogressive.com, op-ed news, Smirking Chip, a few other places around the internet. And my understanding is that the great Gary Null, founder of this network, read my piece in its entirety the other day. I do ask you, please, to go to reader-supported news primarily and then elsewhere, the other websites, and read this piece about the earthquake that almost sent a radioactive cloud into Los Angeles. And this could be happening now as we speak. These nuclear power plants are absolutely instruments of mass suicide. They need to shut immediately. You got a bunch of clowns running around the country saying they're good for global warming. You ask me, how does a so-called controlled nuclear bomb, which is at the core of 440 nuclear power plants and burns at 300 degrees centigrade, you tell me how an atomic fire like that helps fight global warming? I mean, it's completely insane, and I am terrified. I have kids and grandkids in Los Angeles, and I'm terrified by these ongoing earthquakes in California. The Diablo Canyon plant is surrounded by at least a dozen earthquake faults. And I got to tell you, I listened, because I have to 5 hours of earthquake coverage on CNN, and not once did they mention the reality of the two nuclear reactors less than 200 miles from the communities that were hit with these earthquakes. I mean, for them, it was like a big party. And this has got to be dealt with, folks. We have a governor in California, this great liberal Gavin Newsom, who won't even inspect these reactors. We got two at Indian Point, north of New York City, four more in upstate New York. They're all over the place. They're 90 Well, we just shut one in Massachusetts, the Pilgrim plant. So we're down to 97. We'll be at 96 soon because Three Mile Island Unit 1 is going to shut. Still leaves us with 440 worldwide, and it is an absolute insanity. And I do want to I hardly ever recommend people see anything on TV. But the HBO series on Chernobyl, which is actually the most watched, my understanding is it's the most watched TV series in the history of TV series, it is devastating. And it's a five-part series. I made the mistake of watching it at night. I'm never affected by that stuff, but after seeing that series, I could not sleep for two nights. So watch it in the daytime. Watch it with other people. But it is a must-see if you have any concern about the future of the human race and the survival of the human species. And we have got to shut these reactors. These earthquakes near Diablo Canyon, you know, the United States would never recover from a radioactive cloud that went in not only to L.A., but the Central Valley, from which we get a tremendous percentage of our winter food. I mean, it's just sickening. We don't even need the power from Diablo Canyon. We have more than enough wind and solar in California right now to shut these reactors, and nobody would even notice. So just keep your fingers crossed or whatever else you do. See the Chernobyl series, and please do read my piece. We've got a Reader Supported News. We've got a petition there to sign, and God help us, we got to get these shut. We've also had shows on about the reactors in Ohio. They're trying to bail out. I will point out just in passing here before we get to our great guests that the first reactor, first commercial atomic reactor in the United States that was damaged by an earthquake was in Ohio at the Perry on Lake Erie, and they just had another earthquake within 20 miles of the place. So, you know, this is everywhere. Okay, we've got three great guests with us, Dr. Martin Paul, Carol Tassetta, and my good friend Diane Rother. And we are going to talk about 5G, among other things. And Dr. Paul, I'd like to talk to you. It is Dr. Paul, is that right? Hello?
Oh, hello, this is Professor Trevor Marshall.
Oh, it's Trevor Marshall. I'm sorry, I got you confused. You are one of the great researchers on this. I was reading a note about Dr. Paul and Martin Paul and Dr. Jack Cruz.
Yeah.
Now you and then Carol Tassetta, are you with us?
Yeah. Hi, Harvey. I'm here.
Okay. And Diane Rother?
Yes, I'm here, Harvey.
Okay. So, Diane, you're in Minnesota. I know that. Is it snowing there? I realize it's
July, not quite. But we have a beautiful 80 degree day here today.
Oh my God, global warming. Dr. Trevor Marshall, you're Australian, is that correct?
Yes, originally Australian. I've been here 37 years now, but originally Australian, yes. Migrated here in 1982.
Where are you?
Just north of Los Angeles, halfway up to Santa Barbara at a place called Thousand Oaks.
Oh, you're in Ventura County. I'm in Valley Village. You're very close to me. Did you feel the shock at all from this recent earthquake?
Yes, the 7.1 we felt, it was vibrating for about a half a minute, not as big as the last big quake we had here, and certainly not as strong. I didn't hear the house actually creaking, but I could feel the vibration through my chair here at the computer. So, yes, we definitely felt it.
And Carol Tassetta, where are you?
I'm right here in Thousand Oaks, the same town as Trevor. I live on bedrock in our area, so we did not feel it. My dog started acting kind of strangely, but that was about it. But, yeah, when we heard about it later, very concerned, and, you know, especially about the nuclear plants, as you mentioned, Harvey.
Yes. Okay, so I could spend the next 10 hours talking about the nuclear plants. We want to talk about 5G today. I have a memo here from Diane. Diane, you are a holistic health practitioner in Minnesota. And I want to read your major points, and then we'll let Dr. Trevor Marshall jump in on this, and then Carol, and then Diane, you can elaborate further if that's all right. So you have sent me, Diane, this list. Unplug Wi-Fi when not in use. Always unplug your modem at night. No cell phones in the bedroom. Make your home a cell-free zone as much as possible. When out with friends and family, ask them to turn off their cell phones. Hardwire all computers and TV, if possible, so you don't have internet, or rather Wi-Fi. Get a landline corded phone to make a primary phone. Use your cell phone for emergency purposes only. Turn off it completely as much as possible. Have all smart meters disconnected. Turn off the electrical circuit into your bedroom at night. There are multiple products that may help lessen EMF microwave exposure. Have them tested in some way to make sure they work. Fiber optics are a better choice versus 5G antenna. And contact your community council members to let them know of your concerns. Dr. Trevor Marshall, what do you think of that list?
Yeah, it's a good start. In terms of contacting city council members, actually, Carol and I have been quite active trying to persuade our city council to roll back their urgency ordinance, which basically fell into the arms of the telephone companies here back in March.
And so what, you're a major researcher on this. What is all this doing to us? Why are we concerned about 5G and cell phones?
Well, we don't really know what it's doing to us, and that's part of the problem. If you look at the disease statistics for America, I'm sure you noticed that for the first time in many, many years, the mean life expectancy has been dropping the last couple of years. But worse than that, the incidence of chronic disease, the quality of life, is getting worse as well. Rand Corporation did a study last year, the year before, showing that around 60% of adult Americans are taking a drug for at least one chronic disease diagnosis. That is epidemic levels. And of that, there are around 12.5% that have five or more diagnoses at once. So chronic disease has been gradually building up over the last 30 or 40 years to the point it is now. And at the moment, we're starting to see more and more people in the community who've got complaints. I say complaints, symptoms, let me say that, who've got symptoms such as sleep disturbance, inability to concentrate, fatigue, that really can't be pinned down to any physical cause, but which disappear when the person goes through that procedure that you read at the beginning, and also make sure that they're a very considerable distance away from any cell phone transmission towers. That was the one thing missing from that list, I think, that if you're within 300 yards of a cell phone tower, you'll definitely have an impact on your health based on a number of studies that have been done, and that you really need to get out to at least 1,000 yards to get to the half a mile to get to the point where the increase in symptoms is no longer statistically significant, can no longer be determined by studies. So that's the variable. Many of us are much closer to cell towers than that, and we just don't realize how much of an impact they're having on our lives.
Well, how would you? What is the biology of this? I'm going to stick with you for a second. Are you a medical doctor?
No, I'm not a medical doctor. I need to say that out front, because I do a lot of clinical medical research, but the clinical work is done by my colleagues. I'm a research PhD. My thesis was in diabetes, the difference between diabetes and health. Ever since then, I've been doing, particularly starting around the turn of the millennium 20 years ago, we started to do a lot of work with the molecular tools that were becoming available for trying to figure out exactly how the body works. I was trained in the old school back in the 70s, and back in those days, we were always seeking cures. Cure wasn't a dirty word back then. And the way we did research was very different from the way that research is being done today. Back then, we tried to get an understanding of the disease process with the goal of being able to reverse that disease process once we understood it. In the 80s, all of that disappeared. The concept of industrial medicine came in, industrial research, trying to get rid of the individual academic, the individual inventor, if you like, the individual researcher, and focus on corporate teams, which really seems to have failed us based on where we are right now in terms of community health.
Wow. Carol Tassetta, what has your role been in dealing with this issue? And what do you want to say about it?
Can you say that a little louder, Harvey? What was that? What was my interest in this issue?
Yes, and how is your activism playing out here?
Well, boy, I've been interested in radiation for pretty much all my life. When I was around 19, I got diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and nobody knew where it came from. And they asked if I had been irradiated, and no. The only thing I could remember was, I'm kind of dating myself, but back in the 60s, some of the shoe stores, you might remember, had x-rays of kids' shoes and feet to see if the shoes are fitting properly. And, I don't think they used lead in the dentist's office back then, the lead aprons. Also, I drank a lot of milk, and, I'm a baby boomer, and they say that, with all the nuclear testing out west back in the late 50s, early 60s, some of that might have come even as far as New York. And, I grew up in Illinois. So we don't know. But I just was fascinated by it. And, of course, having a child, I try to keep them away from radiation and cell phones as much as possible. Fought in my community to step the smart meters, on everybody's door. So I've kind of been concerned about ionizing and non-ionizing radiation, wireless, my whole life. And when I found out 5G cell towers were coming into our community, got really concerned. I'm also a physician. I'm not an expert in this area, but I do cancer research, and I run clinical trials and, report to the FDA and other agencies in Europe and such. Adverse events from our trials and what I do right now. And this is a huge trial. This is an involuntary trial that people have not signed up for. And we don't know the effect. We clearly know about a lot of the effects. We know there's DNA damage from wireless radiation. We know it disrupts the blood-brain barrier. We know many things about the biology. If you look at this, many, many studies, many of which are military-based. But nobody's ever looked at what happens when I put a 5G cell unit tower, 30 feet from my bedroom. What happens to my sleeping baby? What happens to my fetus in utero? None of that has been looked at. It's almost insane what we're doing right now. And Trevor is the expert on that. And that's how I got interested, in a nutshell.
Well, what exactly are you doing now about the issue?
Well, like Trevor said, we're going to the city council repeatedly trying to sway them to have a setback because of the FCC rulings. The whole country stuck with these stupid units, and we're trying to get a setback from residents so that they won't have it sitting 30 feet from their window. That's the main thing, I guess. Act locally, think globally. Locally, think globally. Trying to you know, work with politicians, you know, Julia Browley, and just other politicians. The Ventura County Issues Reform is a group we work with, and we have some very, very wonderful, strong people trying to talk to politicians. They're meeting with the mayor of our city council today as we speak, you know, donating money. Just I'm trying to support the people that, you know, do have electromagnetic sensitivity, really called microwave sickness right now, helping them with there's a Disability Act in our country, a law that, you know, these people need to be cared for. And the 5G ruling just kind of trumps the whole American Disability Act. So these are just some of the things I'm doing, you know, in addition to my regular work as a full-time physician and research and as a parent. Yeah.
Well, tell us about this, the legislation you just started, a decision, court decision you just started to mention.
Well, I mean, right now, 5G is being rolled out all over the country as we speak. There are some, all over the world, really, there are some cities that have stopped it, like Brussels. There are some cities in California that have been successful in keeping it from their residential areas. And Trevor, if you have any insight, like I think in Marin County, Mill Valley was successful in keeping it away from their residents. There are a lot of concerns with different cities and city councils that they'll be sued by the telecom companies. And the way the law is set up, I'm not sure we can even sue the telecom companies. They've learned a lot from the playbook of the tobacco lobby. Lloyd's of London won't even insure the telecom companies, to my understanding. It's because they know, but they probably know that there are going to be lawsuits once 5G rolls out. I worked on the Surgeon General's report. As a medical student, I spent some time at the CDC back in the 80s, and I worked on a chapter in Trends in Public Beliefs, Attitudes, and Opinions about Smoking. And, for example, since the 1964 first warning came out, you might remember from the Surgeon General that they thought, they said, you know, smoking is a cause of lung cancer in men and maybe women. And, you know, there's evidence to suggest coronary artery disease death. And then, you know, look at 50 years later. I mean, nobody even thinks twice about that. At the time I co-authored the chapter, they were just starting to talk about, oh, involuntary smoking is a cause of disease, including lung cancer in healthy patients, in healthy people. And now, you know, we have like a restaurant all over California banning smoking. So I just wanted to mention that sometimes there is a lag in the beliefs and attitudes of people until the research starts rolling out and people become more comfortable, you know, giving up their cigarettes or giving up their cell phone or their wireless on them all the time. Because radiation is invisible, a lot of people don't believe it's harmful. And, you know, they may not have the technical background to understand a study. And there are no studies being done by our government right now on this, right? I mean, the studies that have been done are 20 years old. And I'm sure Dr. Rother can also, refer to those. It's like a big clinical trial right now, which is, quite frankly, against the Nuremberg Code, which says that voluntary consent. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I need to explain about distance. I said that most people live half a mile, some less, some more, from a cell tower transmitting the pulse microwave signals for 4G. And the thing is that the intensity of the radiation drops as you get further away from the tower. And in fact, because the radiation spreads out spherically as a sphere from the tower, or certainly as a cone or sphere, then the intensity drops with the distance squared. So if you double the distance, there's four times less radiation, 2 squared. Now, if you take the numbers that I was just talking about, which is half a mile, 3,000 feet, let's say 3,000 feet and 30 feet that Carol was just saying for the average distance from the end of a driveway to a house, and 3,000 to 30 is 100 to 1. That means the radiation difference is 10,000 to 1. So that by moving these towers from where they are now to being on our street at the end of our driveway, the radiation inside the house is being increased by 10,000 times. And those are standard engineering numbers. It's been known for over a century. So this is totally unknown. What we are moving to now, by industry fiat, is totally unknown. We have no idea how many people are going to be made ill. What we do know is that a lot of people are being made ill by 4G as it's currently rolled out right now. Maybe 0.5% of the population are severely affected, according to a recent study which came out. But then the study also said that 30% of the population are mildly affected. Things like sleep disturbance and difficulty concentrating, that type of symptom, rather than any overt and easily diagnosable condition like cancer, for example. The problem is, as you asked me a little while ago, how do these waves affect us? They affect biology in many, many ways. The way that proteins interact within a biological system, such as the human body, is that they interact via a mechanism called hydrogen bonding. And classically, those of us that went through biochemistry would know about van der Waals' equations for attraction between polarized amino acids, and that's all pretty complicated. But the main thing to note is that the key scaffolding that allows proteins to interact and allows human biology to work properly is driven by these hydrogen bonds. Typically, the hydrogen bond on oxygens, but can also be on nitrogens. And the amount of energy involved in those hydrogen bonds is very, very small, around 50 millielectron volts, 50 thousandths of an electron volt, very small. And that is easily overcome by the energy in the photons from a normal microwave tower. Because as we have known since the time of Einstein and Planck, the waves carry the energy as packets, as photons. And that is dumped into the molecules. It causes disturbance in the way the molecules interact, and that leads to damage, which has to be cleaned up by the immune system. But also, humans, in the same way as birds, for example, are also sensitive to the waves at the level of, birds use gravity, for example, for navigation. Bees are also heavily involved on electrical and electromagnetic signaling in their activity. And there seems to be, in human biology also, a lot of sensing of the electromagnetic environment, which we don't really understand yet. We do understand the molecular reactions, and we do understand how the immune system is reduced in its effect by having to clean up the damaged molecules from radiation, but there are other mechanisms as well that we don't fully understand yet, and those mechanisms are probably behind things such as the sleep disturbance and lack of concentration, fatigue, chronic fatigue, that type of thing.
Wow, it's pretty terrifying. Diane Rother, you've been with us for a long, long time. You are a very, very astute and advanced health practitioner. What do you want to tell the public about all this?
Well, in listening to Trevor talk about the hydrogen bonding and the, how the photons are in the cells are from the microwave affects the body, I probably look at it from a different perspective. I am a holistic practitioner. In my office, I use what's called electrodermal screening, where I'm using a computer program that's able to measure the electricity in the body, if you want to look at it in a very simple way, of the acupressure points or the meridian systems in the body. With that said, as I follow the different science that in the research that's laid out, I look at different ways I can potentially test to see what the effects are and if it plays through. So like in looking at Dr. Martin Paul's research, where he was looking at the fact that when people pick up a cell phone and use it, there's a calcium ion cascade that's released in the body. Or even at looking at some of Dr. Jack Cruz's research, where he's talking about the receptor sites on the skin being affected, greatly reducing vitamin D levels in the body. I find different ways to look at that with my clients in connection to the effects of what the cell phones are doing on their body. An easy way that I explain it to my clients comes down real simply to when you think of the magnetic energy field of the Earth, we're talking about the Schumann wave. When you look at how often that magnetic energy field pulses in the Earth, the natural field runs between 1 and 32 hertz. When our bodies are sending a signal from one organ system to another, we operate in a 1 to 32 hertz range. The next thing to consider is microwave weapons start at a 300 megahertz level. Microwave ovens are 900 megahertz. The latest, greatest cell phones out there are 2600 megahertz. How Jesus. Can our bodies hear their own signals when we're constantly bombarding them with these frequencies? What I'm finding as I'm testing clients right now is whether they're carrying cell phones or not, and I do not allow cell phones into my building, they're all affected just walking in the door. People's systems are not able to return to a natural circadian rhythm, a natural way of hearing themselves. Anytime they pick up a cell phone, anytime they're around the cell towers. And what I'm seeing with the distance now between towers, there's still an effect that they have. People are not naturally being able to return to their own natural rhythm. I hope that made sense.
Well, it made too much sense. I mean, it makes me want to ask, is there any future for the human race? I mean, you know, all this came with the 1994 Clinton-Gore Telecommunications Act, where they essentially stripped the public of the ability to prevent the monopolization of the major media, which resulted in the mutant, birth of Fox Network, and all these horrible media monopolies. But it tucked away in there, and nobody paid attention to it, was a provision that prevented local communities from regulating cell towers based on health concerns. It became illegal for a community to object to a cell tower based on health concerns. And I don't know what G level we were at back in 1994. But this 5G stuff is terrifying. Diane, can you tell us what's involved here in the potential health impacts of the leap from 4G to 5G?
Well, again, this is looking at some of Dr. Jack Cruz's research on it. And basically, some of the symptoms that I'm hearing clients, because they're just starting to roll out 5G here in the Twin Cities area, there are people that are complaining that when they walk close to the antennas, they can feel their skin burning.
Oh, my God.
Other things that are coming up with it is there are more and more complaints of tinnitus. There are different times when you can tell, you can hear a high-pitched whine in the background, and it will vary throughout the day. Sleep disruption is a definite aspect of it. Memory dysfunction is also another aspect of it. As people are becoming more and more dependent on their technology, they can't figure out what they need to do next unless they're looking at their phone. And those are just the surface symptoms.
I'm almost speechless here.
In the testing that I do, when I'm checking the points for the endocrine system in the body and the nervous system in the brain, in the last 3 years, I have only had one client that was not affected by some level of microwave radiation that I can measure with the equipment that I use. And when I asked that client where she lived, she said, I live in a little valley, and we can get no cell phone reception there.
Dr. Trevor, you want to pick up on this?
Yeah, we did a similar study from a slightly different angle. I took a cohort of several hundred patients that we'd been following for a number of years with various chronic immune diseases that were using the therapeutic intervention that I came up with 20 years ago for chronic disease, such as chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic Lyme, that type of idiopathic disease. And when I looked at that cohort, we sent them out a shielding cap, which was just a cap that was made of silver fabric that fitted over the head and basically protected the head and neck from microwave radiation. And we asked them to wear the cap for 4 hours one night and to wear the cap for 4 hours one day and see if it made any difference to their symptoms. And to our surprise, we found that 90% of them reported differences. Some reported the symptoms got worse, some reported the symptoms got better. But the bottom line was that the symptoms changed, and they should not have changed. The underlying illness is being modulated by the electromagnetic environment around their heads. So that would confirm what Diane's saying, that the just about everybody's being affected. And, you know, when you work with people that are very ill, especially things like chronic fatigue syndrome, then you realize that many of the symptoms that we see on our social media right now, uncontrolled anger, irrational anger, inability to cope with pressure, inability to cope with complexity, going for a simple solution rather than trying to understand the whole problem, are in fact the symptoms that these patients have been struggling with for a long time. Some of them may have been affected for a long time by TV, FM signals, which also carry a reasonably high amount of energy in their photons, being high frequency. I think the society's already in trouble. And incidentally, Martin Paul just this morning, Dr. Martin Paul this morning, was tweeted saying, we will be completely and utterly destroyed because our brain function will be destroyed, our reproductive function will be destroyed, our DNA and essentially every other biological process in our bodies will be attacked. And I have to say that if we end up with cell towers on every street, I agree with him 100%. It could be a cataclysmic event. Because the problem is, people don't get ill immediately. They get ill slowly over a period of time, usually over a period of years. The damage accumulates, and then it becomes diagnosable at some point in time as an actual disease. It may not be cancer. It may be just general thyroid dysfunction, for example, as Carol was talking about. That's very common. Thyroiditis, quote-unquote. In other words, it's not really thyroiditis, but typically looks like thyroiditis, is also heavily associated with radiation of the neck from non-ionizing sources, for example. So, it's a very, very serious story, a very, very serious problem, and I have a lot of trouble getting that through to people. They seem to think that, oh no, I'm fine, thank you. You know, I haven't. I take Lunesta now to get sleep, perhaps. But you know, otherwise, I'm fine. And that they just have no concept of the gradual nature of the degradation of the human body as it heads towards chronic disease, until it just becomes too late. And they can't cope anymore, and then they start to become socially unable to function anymore.
Well, boy, are Carol Tassetta?
Yeah. I mean, I could listen to Trevor and Diane. I consider the true experts all day. I'm in the business of trying to cure diseases, I guess, and I've been in it for a couple of decades now, and, you know, I think to be a physician and not care about prevention of this would be a crime. So that's why I'm also interested in this path of preventing it before someone gets the disease. And I'm of course, you know, into other alternative methods of curing, but I won't go into that now. And I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I mean, like, personally, I mean, it's just not my job. I work for a biotech company that's very, allopathic, you know, science, Western science oriented, and that's what I do for a living. But what concerns me most is, you know, we will, in the pharmaceutical industry or biotech industry, whether you're developing a drug or a medical device, especially a drug, it will take years and millions of dollars and testing. And first you test on, you know, healthy volunteers, then you test on patients, mostly, unless it's a cancer drug, of course. And it takes a lot to get a drug approved. And then here we are with the telecom company saying, oh, we're going to put this cell tower at your driveway. I mean, the whole thing is so ludicrous. How can I not get involved? I've been a busy person,
right.
Busy work. We're all busy, but, like, at some point, you can't not care. And the FDA and the CDC, they just rely on the studies done by, no offense to engineers, but, you know, engineers. And it doesn't make sense that the FDA and CDC wouldn't be more concerned. There's something just not right about it on a political level.
It's the corruption of money. I mean, the big companies are able to come in and push the governments around and push the people around and obfuscate and lie. And, you know, we have a criminal psychopath in the White House now. How did that happen? Diane Rother, you're a health professional. What do you recommend people do to deal with this? I mean, we're describing here essentially the destruction of the human race. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to face the reality that this technology will destroy us as a species. And we're pretty far down the road with between nuclear power and glyphosate and aspartame and all the other insane things.
Throw in GMO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the other insane things that we expose ourselves and our children to. What does someone do on a day-to-day basis to protect their health and the health of their children against this stuff?
That's a really complicated question in many ways. One thing that I always look at my clients and say is start with yourself. Start by looking how you can reduce your cell phone usage, which and your computer time and your TV time and you know, take off the Fitbit because that's connecting in. It's almost like wearing a modem on your wrist. Stay away from buying the smartwatches. Start with yourself first. Then start talking to your family about changing their usage. There is the whole political battle with the towers and with the 5G antennas coming in. Can we win that? I don't know. Have we won the nuclear fight?
Well,
no, it's like you knew. I was involved with that for over 9 years. Start with yourself. Just start changing your own lifestyle, which means no cell phones in the bedroom. When family and friends come home, ask them to turn their cell phones off. Get a landline in the house. All of these things help do changes. There are devices out there that help offer some level of protection, but nothing's complete. Every device I've tested out there with different individuals will bring in different cell phones into the room and at different points, whether it's one cell phone, two cell phone, or three cell phones, people's systems start crashing. They start losing their polarity, their cell's ability to hear its own messages. I'm telling people, put down your cell phones.
How about
That's
dietary
harsh.
Stuff? Is there any dietary stuff people can do?
Dietary stuff, you know, I'm not an MD, so I cannot make, you know, if this is not a prescription or suggestion. What I tell people is always work with somebody that can test you with the supplements that you're taking so that they're right for you. Two things that I found greatly help individuals are getting them on the right magnesium, and I'm talking about magnesium citrate, magnesium glycinate, magnesium oxide, malic acid. I have yet to find a pattern of why one person needs a citrate and the next person needs a glycinate. I have no idea why. The other thing is to add in vitamin D3 and potentially with vitamin K2. K2 we typically get from fermented foods. It's often missing in the diet, in the American diet. D3, none of us are getting enough sunlight anymore. Making sure you have good fatty acids in your diet, and I'm primarily speaking of olive oil, if it's the perfect balance of omega 3, 6, and 9 to be able to uptake minerals and half your vitamins. Starting there does a lot. From there, different people will have individual needs.
Wow. This is really terrifying stuff, man.
Can I make one comment on that?
I kept referring
to how the waves affect our immune systems. And the reason for that is because we actually started out our studies looking at vitamin D and trying to understand why the levels of vitamin D normally measured in the blood were relatively low in people who were ill. and yet the active component vitamin, well, it's not a vitamin, but 1,2,5-dihydroxyvitamin D, which is inside our cells, is quite high in the case of people who are suffering from immune disease. And over the last two decades, my colleagues and I have published about a dozen papers going into the vitamin D issue and exactly why we've gone wrong with our understanding of vitamin D. Yes, people are low on vitamin D, but it is a marker. It is not a driver of disease. Every cell produces all of the vitamin D the body needs. And in fact, taking in a supplement of vitamin D can cause problems. But what it is a marker of immune dysfunction. The VDR is at the heart of the immune system. The vitamin D receptor is at the heart of the immune system. But anyway, look, I've got a whole lot of videos of my presentations at medical conferences on that topic, so I won't divert onto that. But if people are interested, they can go to the YouTube channel, Dr. Trevor Marshall, that's DrTrevorMarshall, and see my colleague and my own presentations at the various conferences on vitamin D and also on electrosmog and how it affects illness.
This is one of the most terrifying shows I've ever done. Diane Rother, how do people get a hold of you and inquire as to what they can do for their health?
They can go to my website, northstarwisdom.com.
Okay. And you are a health practitioner. You see patients in your at your office.
I see clients at, in my office, yes.
Right. And so people can find you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Tassetta, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I don't have a website or YouTube or anything like that. I'm just a research physician who's trying to get the right people together to talk about this really, quite frankly, scary issue. The people I work with is vcir.org. Ventura County Issues Reform. But we're actually getting bigger. We're actually, the counties up and down the coast are starting to get really concerned, from Topanga to Santa Barbara. Montecito, nobody wants this, quite frankly, crap in their neighborhood. And it's not only is it dangerous, it's ugly, it reduces property values. I mean, there's just so many things, reasons why people don't want it. But for me as a physician, the main thing is health. And so vcir.org is a great place to look if you want to kind of see how people are trying to make changes at the local level.
Well, you know, I've been involved with the nuclear issue since the 70s, and we have made progress. I mean, in 1974, Richard Nixon said there'd be 1,000 nuclear reactors in the U.S. by the year 2000, and there were 104. So there are 440 now worldwide, and every one of them needs to be shut. Now, this cell tower technology is absolutely terrifying, and it's ubiquitous. And we're only starting to see the seeds of a movement to stop it and reverse it. And part of the problem, of course, is getting data that we can defend against the industry, because the industry doesn't care. Corporations don't care about human health. All they care about is their profits. So, I'm 74 now. I can imagine doing another 40 years, I guess, on this issue. But unfortunately, we still have nuclear plants that we have to shut. And I want to reiterate, by the way, that we are in a very, very dangerous zone here with these nuclear power plants getting older and older and certainly going to get more and more likely to blow up. So please do see the Chernobyl series, like I say, see it early in the day, see it with someone. Is there an equivalent major piece, Dr. Trevor or Carol, or Diane, that you would recommend people to look at about this issue? I've never seen a major dramatic, you know, it's a different kind of insanity than nuclear power. Has anyone made any major motion picture or any major?
Time magazine put out a video, In Search of the Golden Cage, which describes the journey of Daphna Tekova, who is a lawyer that actually has managed to have Wi-Fi reduced in schools in Israel. But she also practices in New York, and she's currently out here with us in Ventura County in California. And Daphna was the subject of that video. It's available. I think it's on Vimeo, maybe on YouTube. Can't remember, but or maybe on Time.com itself. But it's called In Search of the Golden Cage, and that's well worthwhile seeing. And there are some other more recent ones that go into a lot more detail. Generation Zapped is another one. So there's quite a few of them. Find a lot on Twitter. There's a lot of discussion on Twitter under the hashtag.
That's the sign to go. Trevor, Carol, and Diane, thank you very, very much. We'll have to revisit
this.
It's absolutely terrifying. Thank you for your great work, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, crew in New York. See you next week in Solartopia.
Solartopia.